Thank you. Hey, I want to take you somewhere today, and not only in our mind, but in our lives, back to the basics of who we are. Now, whenever you do that, everybody knows what basics are. I had two brothers that went to basic training. That was when they were participating in the Army. They went to basic training. This is where they do give you the basics. Unlike basic trainings, we're going to go somewhere safe to basics today. They came back from the military and said, you know, I've been called things I've never even heard. Amazing what they went through. Going to the basics of who we are is a wonderful place. We need to go there often so that we'll remind ourselves of who Christ said that we are. There was a poll that was given to a lot of people who said that they were church people. At least they identified that they were church people. And they were asked two questions. The first question is, are you a Christian? And the vast majority of them said, yes, I'm a Christian. The second question was, how did you become a Christian? And man, the answers were just all over the board. Some of them said, well, I was born in the United States of America. Others said, my parents have always been a Christian, so I'm a Christian. I've always gone to church. Well, I do good things for good people, and I'm not a bad person. In other words, going the good works route. Very seldom was there the direct mention, I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore that's why I consider myself to be a Christian. So what makes a person a Christian? It is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and making him your Lord and Savior. You know, when I got saved, I was just happy that the guilt was gone. I didn't know this Lord and Savior thing. Matter of fact, I didn't even know I was lost. I didn't know what that meant. I was confused because of the terminology. But being lost didn't mean that I didn't know which way to go. I didn't have a map. It literally meant that I needed a Savior. Where I needed to go because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the intense sin that I had participated in, I needed a Savior. I needed somebody to save me. And that's why Jesus Christ was invited into my life. As you can see here, we have the reference up here to Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 through 10. This was Rollo Griffith's favorite verse of Scripture. He quoted it often. Matter of fact, he quoted it on his deathbed. Right before he gave up the ghost, if you will, and went to be with Jesus, he said these words. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Who are we? We, based on Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. If we have confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we are saved. We become Christians. We're linked with Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes that's a little wordy. We would say it a lot of different ways. Maybe in casual conversation, I would say, you know, it was when I understood that I had sin in my life and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's something coming out of my mouth. I asked God to forgive me my sins, and I believe with the core of my being that he died for me, and I asked him to be my Savior. You know, we can say those things, you know, any different way, but as long as we understand what that means, the coolest thing about that, it makes me a Christian, and Jesus is my Lord. Now, I've noticed something. And it was kind of convenient for me since I didn't grow up in church. I noticed something when I got saved. There I was, you know, in my late teens, and I noticed this church thing was a little interesting. People that had been to church all their life, they had a much different circumstance than I did. I had one of those conversions, okay? I didn't grow up in church. It wasn't a conversion. It was conversion. It was light and day. And I just noticed there's some different things about people who are always a part of the church. Now, I want to share a couple of them with you. I think these are the kind of the three attitudes we see when it comes to really approaching my life with Christ or being in a church. And the first one is simply this. I met a lot of people that they just had to. They had to go to church. They had to be a Christian. Nobody forced them, but they had this attitude that I have to do this. You know what it sounded like to me? It sounded like school and work. You know, when you go to school, remember, you had to go to school. You didn't get to choose not to go to school until you dropped out and became a loser. Just kidding. My dad was a loser at a ninth grade level. I mean, and it's amazing what this man did with the rest of life. He never quit learning. He just quit going to school. But you know what? Sometimes we have to go to school, and that's not a whole lot of fun, because it's the very thing that you feel restricted. You see, I understand that sometimes we go to things and we go to church because we're supposed to, or it's just expected out of us. I married a preacher's kid. She can do things on Wednesday nights because that was church night. And I don't know where they got the idea that people took a bath together, but she couldn't bathe with boys. Now, see, doesn't that sound funny to you guys? But here, when I grew up, I we went swimming with girls all the time. What I did not know was that you couldn't mix bathe. I go, what is that? Brother Owens, where did we come up with that word? I don't know, but it was crazy. And I started realizing all these things that she couldn't do because she grew up in the church. I'm going, we did this all of our lives. And then I started walking through all this stuff and understood. But there was these things that were expected of you. Listen, if you're going to school because you have to, I bet your grades reflect that. If you're going to church because you have to, I bet your lifestyle reflects that. There's a whole better way that we want this. The bad thing is that neither are connected to a purpose, much less a passion. Hopefully today, somewhere in your experience, as you got up this morning, regardless of how obligated you may have felt or regardless of how responsible you feel like you had to be, you see, I came to church because I love being at church. I know that you don't believe that. I'm the pastor. I have to be here. But it's the truth. Remember the story this was told of, actually, of a principal. They said that one day there was this little kid, or I used to say it as a kid, but there was this guy who said, I don't want to go to church today. And his mom said, you're going to church. He said, I don't want to go to church today. You're going to church. But I don't want to go to church. If I go to church, they talk about me. They make fun of me. Everybody thinks I'm an idiot. He says, you're going to church for two reasons. Number one, you're 45 years old. And number two, you're the pastor. Now get up and go to church. You know, we have those moments. It's supposed to. Oh, my goodness. The second thing, it drifts over into, well, I'm cooperative. I will cooperate. I'll just kind of go with the flow. I'm not driven, I'm not compelled, but I'm not resistant either. You know, it's kind of that neutral thing. I'm just here. When you do that in school, you're probably good in some areas and marginal in others, but you're really not a success or a failure in any of them. I was a great model student for C's when it came to high school. I just buzzed right through them. C's, had a D every now and then, A every now and then. It was in PE. So it's amazing how they go. You know, if you dress out and do the laps, they give you an A. It's awesome. Bob Rogers was one of those PE teachers. He's kind of like that, you know. Anyway, but that's what happens. But it leads to a false sense of accomplishment. There's no downside to it, but there's not really an upside to it. I went, but I wasn't really there. You're cooperative, but you're not motivated. It's like shopping with your wife. Or hunting with your husband. Hey, I'm going to bail you out. I'm going to be on both sides of the side here. There you go. You know, it's one of those things you're going, this doesn't thrill me whatsoever, but I'll go. You know, it's like, I like dinner every now and then. I don't like sleeping outdoors. I think I'll go. You know, it's amazing. That's how it happens. But it ends up being literally about just going for some kind of obligation or atmosphere instead of Jesus. Here's the most preferred attitude that I think we should have about church, and especially our commitment to the Lord Jesus, is to be enthusiastic about it. And I'm not talking about false sense of enthusiasm. I'm talking about genuinely enthusiastic about it. Sure, when you go to church, you want to see your friends, but you want to see God a whole lot more. You want to be involved. You want to be a part of what's going on. Listen, you know, worship around here has changed an awful lot, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I so appreciate the people that this isn't their style of worship, but I've never gotten letters telling me I hate worship. Matter of fact, I've told the story several times that there was an old man at a church much different than us. I mean, they were in a warehouse look, black lights, you know, black ceiling lights going everywhere, smoke a little bit. And somebody went up to this 80-year-old guy that was handing out bullets, and he said, surely you don't like that music. He said, I hate it. I said, well, why are you here? He said, because I love those people that love it. It's amazing. We have all of these things, but you know what? Enthusiasm will accomplish an awful lot of things. And we need to be enthusiastic. You see the purpose. You pursue the purpose. You've come to make a contribution and not just register your attendance, and I appreciate that. But the basics of who we are needs to be fueled by what we do and why we do it. Let me give you a couple of reasons why we need to go back to the basics of who we are. Because it helps us provide focus. You get to understand what's going on. Have you been to the food court at the mall? It used to be kind of cool, but ever since I've gone there, I've realized, you know what, to have all of these choices, I stand frozen in the middle of all of that, just wondering what I'm going to eat. And finally, I make a choice, and I usually hate it because it's Chinese, and I remind myself that's why I haven't eaten here in 4 weeks, or 4 months, or 4 years. But you know, if I only have one restaurant, I'm pretty fixed on what I'm going to eat. It provides focus. The other thing is it determines what our actions are. Instead of guessing or wondering or hoping that we want to figure out what to do, We know what to do because we're back and we understand the basics of our relationship with Christ. It also established some priorities. Notice that most of the time when we get in trouble, it's because our priorities get messed up. Number four jumps to the number one, and we miss a whole lot of things, and we're in trouble. It helps us to put first things first. But here's the most important thing. I believe it provides passion. Who wants to do something that you're not enthused about it? You're not excited about it. You don't see the benefit in it. You don't want to contribute to it because it doesn't contribute to you. Listen, if I don't love it, if I don't appreciate it, I usually don't pursue it. There's not a whole lot that makes me want to go there. So it's something that we need to be passionate about. So let me share you just three things real quickly about the basics of who we are. Number one, and this is so elementary, you're going to go, that's no big deal. But sometimes the basics are what we ignore because they are so foundational. Sometimes we take them for an assumption. We take them for granted, and we don't even address them. But we're going to do that today. The first one is simply this, knowing Jesus. The most basic thing in your relationship to Christ and your relationship to a church or a Christian organization is that you know Jesus Christ. It's not just something required, but it's a doorway to a relationship that we have with God. Listen, Romans 10, 9 through 10, we just talked about. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, we will be saved. This establishes you in the kingdom of God. Do you remember how you felt when you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you remember that? And I don't mean this in any way judgmental, but the thing that I noticed when I got saved is that I was excited. I mean, this was brand new. This was the best thing that ever happened to me, and I noticed that there were people that had been in this thing all their life, and they just weren't too fired up about it. And I think maybe they lost the excitement, the glamour, if you will, of how what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Listen, we cannot afford to make the mistake that the church at Ephesus made. Let me take you to Revelations, the second chapter. This was a church, and God began to speak to the church, and this is what he says about the church. It says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them false. You have persevered and you have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Pretty good resume so far, don't you think? But then it says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. The reason it is so difficult, and I just talked to someone the other day who lost their mom recently. I said, you know, the reason that this is so difficult, he wasn't searching for this, he agreed with me. The reason it's so difficult, it's not because your mother, who was later on in her years, passed away. It's because you're remembering her when she was a young mother, and she could pick you up with one arm and throw you over the shoulder. All she had to do was look at you and you straightened up. You remember those are the days. That's what you miss. You know what? When it comes to being a Christian and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we miss those wonderful days when we were young and we just didn't know better but to just believe God for everything. The first time I ever got healed, I didn't know a single scripture on healing. I didn't know the process. I didn't know people were supposed to pray for you. I just knew that if I asked, Jesus would do it. How cool is that? I remember praying for things that I didn't even know how the structure of prayer was. Our first communion together as a bunch of people that got saved in high school probably just broke all the rules, but God blessed it. It was amazing. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I go, where is that guy? You used to love God so much that you had passion pouring out of your mind. You just thought about him all the time. You couldn't wait to share him with other people. Do we not miss that? Absolutely we do. Find your first love and return to your first love. That's what God wants us to do. The second thing is this, not only just knowing Jesus, but growing in Jesus. Growing in Jesus. There's a lot of people that know Jesus and ding, we've arrived. They cross the finish line, so they stop running. But God says there's a whole other path that I want to take you on. I want you to grow. I want you to grow. I want you to grow. Grow is not just a physical thing. It is a structural thing that in our spirit we get wiser, we get stronger, we participate more in Him. Knowing and experiencing the reality of Jesus in our life, you know what they call that? Growing. It's an experience and it's ever expanding. True belief always translates into action. What I truly, truly believe to the core of my will translate into action. And that's the cool thing about how we grow in Christ. The things that we believe, the things that we learn, it transcends into this relationship that results in, this is what I believe, this is how I behave. So you know what? The opposite is true too. If this is how I behave, this defines what I believe. So if there's some major inconsistencies in our life, you know, sometimes we need to check our belief system. Are we really growing in Christ? Luke the 24th chapter, verse 32. We're going to go to Easter here in just a couple of weeks. Jesus died on the cross, but he rose from the dead. You know, the day that he rose from the dead, there were these two disciples. The Bible says they were walking to the road to Emmaus. And as they walked, Jesus comes up and begins to walk with them. And they didn't even know it was him. And he starts talking about everything that's going on, about his own death and his resurrection. And they are asking him, he said, are you not paying attention? Have you not listened to the news? And he began to talk to them, and they were just amazed at what he said. They invited him into their home. They said, please, it's getting late in the day. Come and stay with us. Jesus accepted their invitation. He went, and the Bible says that as they sat down and as he broke bread, they all of a sudden realized it was Jesus, and Jesus vanished. This is what they said about the moment. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? When was the last time that your heart burnt within you because of something God spoke to your heart through the Holy Spirit, or an experience that you had by just reading the Bible, or something that happened in the church, maybe in this altar, maybe in one of our classrooms? God did this miraculous thing. The Bible says they were in awe because of what? His authority. If we're not careful, Jesus is just another buzzword. We're not growing in Jesus. We're minimizing Jesus, and we're letting the other things of our life take his place. And that's a sad place to be. Jesus needs to be prominent in our life. The last thing is this. Not only knowing Jesus and growing in Jesus, but here we go, going with Jesus. It's doing something with our life beyond just a religious experience. It is literally to fall in love with the church and its mission. Here's the cool thing about Jesus. He loved everybody. Luke, the 4th chapter, he meets the woman at the well. Remember that? Now, the disciples were talking about, hey, it's time to eat, and Jesus sent them to town to get some food. While they were gone, the Samaritan woman comes up, and the Samaritan woman was not somebody that Jews liked or associated with, much less a woman. So she's at the well. You know the story. Jesus tells her, says, listen, I can give you living water. And she's amazed, and her life has just changed. The Bible says that she went back to town telling everybody, come and meet the man who's told me everything about my life. He couldn't believe it. And then the disciples show back up, and they start talking about food. And this is what Jesus said. John, the 4th chapter, verse 34 and 36. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives his wages, gathers fruit for eternal life, but those who sow and he who reaps may rejoice together. The mission of the church, his church, this church, is to fall in love with the community. After I know Jesus Christ, I begin to grow and mature in Jesus Christ. The natural thing that comes next, that has to be a part of the expression of who I am in Christ, is that I begin to fall in love with the community, with others, with people who don't know Jesus. And it's not that they don't know Jesus like me. It's not about repeating who I am. It's not about creating little Dave Muburns out there. God forbid. But it's about reproducing Jesus in everybody's heart, in everybody's life. We have to come into this church so that we will become outward with this church. So that this church leaves this place and goes out there. That is why we are here. It's amazing. There's a lot of churches that love their tradition a lot more than they love the lost. They love their structure. They love the things that they do a lot more than they do the lost. That's why our second core value is so important. It's right over there. We value the lost, the hopeless, and the hurting. We value those people, and we want to reach out to them. We have a little thing underneath that says this. We will do everything we can to reach out with compassion to those who need Christ. Are we perfect? No. Are we doing it just right? Probably not. But if that's our objective, if that's our goal, if it's a core value, it will begin to decide what our behavior is. It will begin to understand and define who the what the basics of our life with Jesus Christ is, and we will be that. We will never be fulfilled just ministering to our own needs. We will only find fulfillment when we meet the needs of other people. If you have never discovered that, today, you need to introduce that into your life. We will never be completely fulfilled. We'll be happy, we'll be satisfied, we'll be sustained, but we'll never find real, real happiness, especially in the Lord, until we start meeting the needs of other people. And that's what Jesus was all about. Here's the hard question, and nobody likes it when a pastor asks this question. But it's okay if the pastor asks the question not only of you, but himself. When was the last time you or I led someone to Christ? Stop and think that. That is not supposed to be a damning moment. That is not supposed to be a convicting moment. It's not supposed to be a moment where it goes, shame on you. That's not why we ask that question. We ask that question going, hey, with the basics of me knowing Jesus and how I've grown, and now I understand that I want to be a part of His mission and His church, there's an expectation I want to adopt in my life that I will share Him with other people, just like someone shared that with me. I want to be a part of what God is doing. There's a quote that says this, passion with a purpose has a price. If you love something and you're driven to do it, it's going to cost you something. It's amazing in John the 6th chapter, all these people were following Jesus. You know what Jesus was doing? Giving away free lunches. He was healing people left and right. But then he made the mistake of making this mention. If you're going to follow me, then take up your cross and deny yourself. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says they left in droves, and they left in Chevys and Fords. And that was funny. Hell, that was funny. They were gone. They disappeared. And you know what? Jesus looked at his disciples. I mean, the 12 that he picked out, and he said, are you too going to leave? I love Peter in that moment that I guess animated my mind. Peter goes, are you kidding me? Where else would we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. It's amazing. What a statement. Where else are you going to find joy and happiness and fulfillment except being a part of Jesus' family and growing into the things that He will teach you and lead you through and being a part of the purpose that He put us there in the first place? If we truly love Jesus and the mission of the church, it is going to cost us something. But it shouldn't register as pain. It should register as joy. People are going to come to Christ. You see, most Christians don't know what to do with the lost. Hey, they don't look like us. They don't smell like us. They don't act like us. They don't speak our language. They don't sing our songs. They don't appreciate the church like we do. And they got problems. I mean, they got marital problems. They come from blended families. They have dysfunctional circumstances. There's all kinds of things that they have financial issues. But in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, this is what Jesus said. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came to build the church, but he didn't come to build a church so we could turn it into a resort. Instead, he wants it to be a hospital where people come and bring their dead and their dying. And there's an emergency exit that they are able to enter into to understand that while we're going out, they can come in. There's a rescue here, and it's called the church. Jesus was called the friend of sinners and not the people that buddied up with the disciples. Later on in chapter 19, we see him at Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus, remember, wee little man like, you know, there's the guy. He was this horrible tax collector. He ripped people off. He was so impressed by the encounter he had with Jesus that he said, everything that I've ripped off of somebody, he said, I'm going to give him that back and four times the amount. You know what Jesus said? Zacchaeus, I got to come to your house. He didn't say, no way, Zacchaeus. You know what you've done? People don't like you. You've ripped people off. I despise you. You know what he said? I want to come and rub shoulders with you. That's what he said. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables back to back to back. The first is about the lost sheep. Remember the lost sheep? The shepherd left the 99 to go to find the one sheep. He talks about the lost coin. There was this coin that was so valuable that this lady had to do everything she could to find this coin. And then the last one becomes really real because it's the prodigal son. the story of the lost son, how the father literally just stood, and as he saw the profile of his son coming over the horizon, he just couldn't wait to go and get him. And he says, we're going to throw a stinking party, kill the calf, we're going to be excited. Of course, a part of that story is the brother who has always been in church, if you will, and he was a little jealous over the celebration of the one who had gone wayward. A little out of balance there. We need to celebrate the fact that people come to Jesus all the time. Let me take you back to the church of Ephesus. Listen, I know your deeds. You work hard. You persevere. I know that you can't tolerate wicked people. That you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not. You found them false. You persevered. You've endured hardships for my name. You have grown weary. You've been in this location in Claremore for 20 years. People know where this church is. You sing great songs. You have a great youth group. You have a children's ministry. You've just remodeled this church. You have done a lot of things. You're a great supporter of missions. You send over $100,000 to missions every year. And I don't want God to say this, yet I hold this one thing against you. You have lost your first love. We used to have such a great relationship. We were just so close. But you've become so busy being a church and taking care of what happens in here that you've forgotten that it's about going out there as well. So God doesn't want to sacrifice us in the community so that we come in here and it's just boring. No, He wants us to be thrilled about being in here, but not at the cost and expense of people dying and going to hell out there. Because there's no greater burden than knowing that Jesus Christ wants us to reach the lost. We need to return to the basics of who we are. We need to get back to that point to where we embrace and we cherish our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get back to that moment where our commitment takes us into this growing process where we can't wait to get more of Jesus Christ and more of being together. We can't wait till we get to this renewed commitment to the mission of the church. You know what they used to call this? They used to call this revival. They used to call it revival. Where something supernatural happened. People couldn't explain it. They could tell you, you know what? God anointed a specific plan of prayer. People began having extraordinary times of prayer. Burdens became to be not just titles on their mind and not just issues, but they became sunk deep into their hearts and their spirit. They couldn't help but just stay involved in each other's lives, just praying. And the next thing you know, they started reliving Acts, the second chapter, where things began to explode. Have you lost your first love? Listen, we will grow and we will tell others, but it has to be out of the incredible love that we receive with Jesus Christ. Sometimes when you create a problem, you try to take what the problem has created and you try to change all this and you go, man, how can we do all this? And you try to fix everything. And you know, all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know what? I just need to go over here. Do this one thing, it fixes everything else. We've had this garage door opener at our house for a long time since we built the house. And the light wouldn't come on. And I put another bulb in it. I go, good grief. And for weeks, no light. You know, when you turn the garage door, you know, you take up the garage door, light comes on, no light, no light. So I thought yesterday, I'm going to fix that sucker. So I get up there, and I look, and my ladder's hidden because of all the other junk my son has brought home and put in my garage. Sorry, I needed to vent right there real quick, okay? Yeah, and so I'm standing on my riding lawnmower. So I can get up there, standing on my riding lawnmower. Okay, it's okay, it wasn't a ladder, it's just a lawnmower. Standing on there. And I look up there, and I'm going, no way. You got to be kidding me. I'd already unplugged it, took the side off and everything in anticipation of a bad socket. I go to remove the light bulb, and it's burnt out. I go, you got to be kidding me. I am going to be so upset, but kind of excited if it's just a light bulb. Sure enough, I plug a light bulb, but ding, it comes on. And only because God had reminded me that it's right to be, you know, correct and tell the truth, I'm going to let my wife know, no, I'm not a miracle worker. You know, that wasn't my extreme electrician, no, I'm just an idiot. And I thought it was, you know, why we fixed it. You know why? She just went back way over here put a new bulb in. You know, I know that God wants us to be so involved in this community that people are getting saved. I know that God wants to bring, and regardless of how you define it, revival, not to this church, but to this land, to this community. God, listen, Claremore Assembly of God isn't the one and only church that can. God wants to bring revival everywhere. God wants to do all of these things, but it starts by going back to your first love. Bow your heads with me. We celebrated communion just a little while ago. I want to ask the worship team to come back. We celebrated communion. Why did we do that? Because of what Jesus did for us. When he died on the cross, he paid this incredible price. Then he died for us. I was not compelled to give my heart to Jesus Christ because I saw what he went through physically. I had no idea. I wasn't there because I saw the blood. Somewhere in my mind it was described to me that I thought, oh, I owe this to Jesus. No, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit convicted me that I was a sinner. I wasn't afraid of hell. I wasn't afraid of missing out. I just knew that I needed a Savior. And that's why I gave my heart to Christ. And that's why we had communion today. God forbid that we ever have communion or anything else without it being based back on the basics of who we are, that Jesus Christ is this living, breathing Savior and Lord in our hearts and in our lives, in our spirit. I want to rehearse the words that those guys quoted when it comes to the road of Emmaus, when they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us when we heard him speak?" Where our lives, are we stirred to the point to where we just can't sit still? God is doing something great in us. And regardless of the heartache that you've experienced, and regardless of the burdens that you carry, and regardless of the circumstances that you need to overcome, it'll never get there until you go back to the basics of just finding that first love. Somehow, it may not fix it all, but underneath everything, it will be this incredible relationship with a loving Savior. I invite you to come back. Come back. That core relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to come and bring your first love. If I was talking to a couple today and there were indifference in the family, there was heartache, there were problems, and I would love to somehow say, you know, we're going to wipe out 10 years of your life. We're going to take you 10 years back ago. Back in your past, and we're going to create that moment again where everything was wonderful, you're still in your honeymoon. We can't do that. But we can revive what brought you together in the first place. We can resurrect the love that you had as a couple because of that circumstance. You can't go back in time, but you can do it. And today, that's the same thing that happened with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you will be compelled to come to this altar and just spend some time praying. Some of you will just need to express it through this song. Some of you, it will be what you do with the next couple of days and the next couple of minutes, the next couple of weeks. It will be what you express through your life. Some of you, all you will be able to do is just understand that, wow, I appreciate so much. Your passion is going to come back to you. The energy that was once there associated with Christ. This church thing isn't going to be an issue of just going and doing. Cooperating, great. Having to, horrible. Enthusiastic, yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're going to sing this one song. Whatever you do beyond that, Lord, is up to you. We ask the Holy Spirit, and we pray the Holy Spirit will take full liberty to come and minister to us in the next few moments. I pray that as we commend our hearts to you, as we go back to that first love, I pray, Lord, that you'll resurrect a life in us that so desires to be with you that we almost cannot communicate it with another person. Words will not come to express how we feel right now. The rescue of our heart, our spirit, once again, will be enabled to literally communicate it to another person. Father, thank you for replacing boredom, for replacing indifference with passion and with purpose today, oh God. We pray that you'll do that for us, Lord Jesus. We love you with all of our heart. I pray that now that becomes not just an expression, but absolutely the reflection of our heart and our spirit in Jesus' precious name. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. If you would like to come to this altar, I'd love to pray with you. If you want to just let this song be the expression of your heart, I ask you to do so. It's 12 noon. We're going to hold you over just for this. the length of this song, but I pray that you will take full advantage to pray and sing this in your heart. Let this song be a prayer more than anything else. Amen.